The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
One of my favorite quotes of all time. In the words of Muhammad Ali, of all time. If the world hates you because of Jesus, that's fine. If they hate Jesus because of you, that's a problem. Nice. This is from my sister and daughters of St. Paul. Thank you for joining me this morning here. Well, actually, you have to go kind of west of the Mississippi to be this morning. East of the Mississippi, it is noon or shortly this afternoon. This is The Doctor Is In. Been doing this show for 20 years. I couldn't believe that they approached me to do this show just when I graduated from college. Do you believe it? Ha, don't. 20 years. I've been informed by my producer, man, Andrew Kruchek, that he's been scouring the last 20 years, and he has been able to cobble together about 9 shows. You know, picking 6 minutes here and 2 minutes there from the different shows, putting them all together so we can have a few least worst ofs. That'd be nice. Nice to have those in the bank. This is not a least, it could be a least worst of, but right now it's live. And so the number to get onto the program is 877-573-7825. 877-57. Equal? Do I have to break it down into three parts for you people? I remember I did a test. I had a friend of mine when I was in college. He was doing something for his psych class, and he wanted to see how many numbers you could remember in a row. And they gave them to you one number per second. Now, telephones, those of you who are old enough to remember when we didn't have to dial area codes, or if you did dial an area code outside your own, it was $84 a minute or something like that. That's why you wrote letters. Remember letters? Ew! So 7 digits are the optimal number that people can remember. Well, as lines exploded, you had to have many more numbers. So when we went to 10 digits, which is the area code, most people can still remember that because the area code for their own area or somewhere close by, they know. But I remember I did 14 digits before I missed it. Can I do that now? Pfft, are you kidding? Now I can do 3, 877. And then if Andrew puts it up, 573-7825. That's the number to get onto the program. If you got a question or a thought or a suggestion or a disagreement with me, had somebody disagree with me yesterday, but they didn't stay. They kind of semi-yelled at me and then left. And I thought, please, come on, stick around. We can talk. Shirley. And, well, her name wasn't Shirley, but 877-57 equal. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do. And of course, here we're not going to do any therapy or diagnosis and will not meander into the territory of a counselor or a therapist that you're seeing. However, we can educate, give a few thoughts, a few ideas, something that maybe can give you a useful suggestion, useful insight, useful idea, head you in a direction where you say, you know, that worked or it didn't work. And I knew it wouldn't. And I don't know why I wasted my time calling you. Now, that happens. But that's okay. Because I'm old enough now, that doesn't bug me anymore. Get off my lawn. Just get off my lawn. All right. What else do I have here? Anything else? Anything else? Anything else? No. Manalog time. Those of you who took any kind of physics course in high school or college probably vaguely remember the law of entropy. It's one of the great natural physics laws. Everything tends toward decay. Ooh, that's a good one, Mary. Oh, Mary, where'd you go? Oh, see, that amazes me. Somebody will call, they'll make a cute little observation about something, and then as soon as I look at it, it's as though they know. Some kind of telekinetic, well, that wouldn't be it. Would it be telekinetic? No, that's moving something. Telekinesis is moving something with your mind. Telephone. They know that I'm going to go to them, and then they just say, no, I'm hanging up. I've had enough girls do that to me in college. I don't need it to happen here. Oh, she's back. She's back. Eric, what is going on? Anyway, the law of... He worked his magic. Had her call back. The law of entropy says everything tends toward decay. Our bodies age. Iron rusts. If we did nothing at all in our environment, 1,000 years from now, wouldn't even know it's there. The buildings would crumble. Glass would just erode away. Everything. That's why they find civilizations or things buried 15 feet underground, because everything decays. Everything kind of rots. It just happens. The sun's going to burn out. Given enough time, it will burn out. And the universe will head toward a heat death. What, I don't know how many trillions of years from now. There's a parallel law, much more immediate to our functioning. And that is what I call the law of social entropy. I called it that. I made it up in one of my books. So if you're going to write pop psychology books, you got to have these cutesy little phrases. And in my marriage book, I talk about the law of social entropy. The law of social entropy says relationships can tend, they don't always, but they can tend toward decay. Now, that doesn't mean hostile decay. That doesn't mean the more I know you, not like the old familiarity breeds contempt, cynical view of life. No, not like that. Laziness, apathy. Example, in a marriage, which isn't filled necessarily with hostility, but after some years, it gets a little sloppy. Nowhere near as many compliments are given as were given in the first parts of the relationship. Manners aren't used anywhere near as much. Hey, get me coffee, will you? Not a, hey, please, could I have a cup of coffee? Thank you. It's not that there is resentment or hostility or I don't value you. It's that we just become sloppy, lazy in the relationship. Happens all the time. And the only way to deal with it is to be aware of it and to counter it. If you look at graphs regarding physical strength, and we'll use this for men, guys actually peak in physical strength somewhere around early 30s. Now, that's not necessarily physiological fitness. That's in the 20s. But physical strength, maturity, in the 30s. And then they lose about 1% every year. So by time they're 52, they've lost a fifth of their physical strength. That's if they don't do anything. However, if they do strength training, lift weights, that graph not only goes into the 30s and stays there throughout the 30s and the 40s, but it declines much, much more slowly. I had a friend that I lived with, and in his 60s, he bench pressed 300 pounds. He was in his 60s. He just wanted to do it. Is he big? No, he's about 5'7", weighed about 190. So the law of social entropy can be countered. Kind of like weightlifting. If you resist it, if you are aware, you don't give compliments to your spouse or the people you love like you used to. You don't say I love you like you used to. You don't use manners like a five-year-old is taught to use. You just don't do it. It's not because you're unwilling to do it. It's because you just get apathetic. You slip into a rut, kind of like getting out of shape. Little by little, you find yourself losing strength, not because you're hurting your body, but just because of the natural aging process. And it's the same thing with a natural aging process of a relationship. You got to intellectually work out to keep the law of social entropy from taking over your best relationships. And the interesting thing about that, if you counter the law of social entropy, if you're the only one that does it in a relationship, your spouse doesn't, or your adult kid doesn't, or your loved one doesn't, whatever it is, the person closest to you that you look at and you say, you know, I really don't do the kinds of things I used to do, they'll respond. Very few people don't respond to noticeably better treatment, even if it's little stuff. The law of social entropy. When I came up with that, I was all excited. I thought, this is a good parallel. 877-573-7825-877-57-EQUAL. I'd love to talk to you.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. The number, and I do want to hear from you, whether you have a question about something in your life, a comment to help someone else out, an insight. You folks are full of great insights. Or kind of like Mary, who says, you know, Dr. Ray, if you're talking about remembering only seven numbers in a phone number, I remember two. Mary, how are you?
I'm great.
Two numbers in a phone number?
Yeah, it was called a party line.
Oh, we had those. And I remember that.
Yeah, and it was on our farm. It was my mom and my pop and their four sons. We all lived on the farm in different houses, sort of like a family compound or a farm. And the grandparents' number was 80. And then the four sons were 81, 82, 83, and 84.
That's all you had to do was just simply dial those two numbers and you got the person?
Exactly. And you did have to dial it. I mean, it was not push buttons or anything like that. It was dialing.
Did you think,
and
Mary?
And also...
Okay, go ahead, then I'll ask you the question.
Okay. And also, when you pick up the phone to dial that those two numbers, sometimes someone else in the family in another house would already be on the phone. And if I was on the phone as a child, this was in the 50s, one of my aunts might say, Mary, get off the phone. It's your aunt, and I need to make an important phone call.
So I you had call waiting. Ma'am. You had call waiting. They had to wait till Mary got off the phone.
Right, and I would say, yes, ma'am. So I did use the manners.
Mary, did you think at all, in your wildest dreams, that in your lifetime there would be phones that had no cord, that could pull something right out of the air, and could put you in contact with anybody anywhere in the world for no cost extra other than paying the fee, and could basically get you into any amount of information or anything that you wanted in your lifetime? Could you imagine that you'd see that?
Not in my wildest dreams.
I know. It's crazy. I think about it now. I got this phone sitting next to me. And if I think about it, Mary, okay, so let's say I punch in this number and I call somebody. What it does, it's like, wait a minute. It's going through the air. I mean, how does it get there? Okay, well, it goes up to a tower. Well, okay, so that tower takes it and sends it somewhere else. Wait, how does it do that? It's magic.
When I think
about it, I'm nuts.
So, I agree.
Well, wait a minute. You agree that I'm nuts?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
No, I agree with what you said. Sorry about that.
Thank you for the call, dear. I appreciate it. Take good care.
Okay, have a blessed day.
Thank you. And I'll call you. 80. I know that number now. Say to my wife, I remember Mary's number. 877-573-7825. That's a little longer than 80. 877-57 equal is the number to call. We have lines open. We always do. We have so many lines. It's rare that all the lines are filled. That's not common. But if you'd like to call, make some observations about life or question about some situation with a kid, with a relationship, human beings are interactive. We are. We generally tend to be around people. And right now I'm working on a chapter in my anxiety book on social anxiety, which is, it's amazing how many of us struggle with social anxiety in groups, unfamiliar settings, all of that kind of happens. So, look what Eric did. It's funny. He took away two of the lines because he wants to make it look like, okay, we'll have it all filled up. We'll have it all filled up with calls. Okay, he's screening some calls right now. I saw a thing about why it's great to be a guy. And I've noticed this. Let me just give you a few ideas on why it's great to be a guy. Phone conversations are over in 30 seconds or less. Yeah, I like that. you know stuff about tanks. Yeah, when was the last time you talked to a woman and said, hey, the Abrams M1A1, it can fire while it's moving at 60 miles an hour. Did you know that? And the kind of the armor that they use on those things is kind of a light. The women will look at you like, what? And a five-day vacation, and my wife and I see this, requires just one suitcase. Yeah, when we go somewhere, I got my suitcase, and I look at her. Of course, she says to me, okay, Ray, but every time we get there, you're missing all kinds of stuff, and you say, honey, do you have that? And she said, yes, I packed it. One more. And this is big. This is big. It's great to be a guy because you can open all your own jars. Eh? It's true. My wife will hand me a jar, and I can still do it. I can still open them, and I kill spiders. So if I lose the ability to open jars and kill spiders, I hope she still stays with me. Carrie from Washington. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am fine. You sound like a young mother, plus I heard a little kid in the background.
Yeah, I've got two. I'm 37, so I'm young, but...
You are just a pup.
Yeah, I just had a question. I just saw that there were just some lines open, and this is just something that... So I'm a convert to Catholicism. I was raised Lutheran. I've just learned a lot about the church and just church in general, but something that I've... And this is a question not just for in the church in general, but where did we come in America from 5 vaccines a year in the 60s to 100 today for kids? And our own government said in the 40s that most infectious disease mortality was already eradicated. Just where, how did that happen?
I don't know.
What is the psychology?
One might say, somebody more skeptical would say, well, of course, follow the money. And there's massive amounts of money to be made in vaccines. So therefore, if you produce vaccines, you can, if you're a pharmaceutical company, you make lots of money. We can also say, well, these vaccines, by and large, have eradicated a lot of illnesses that used to be main lethal agents. They killed a lot of people. Okay. My mom had polio when she was little. I don't know if she got I don't think she got the polio vaccine. So she had polio. So polio is pretty much gone because of the vaccine. So the question becomes which vaccines and how many and when. I mean, that seems to be the controversy. And I would have to plead ignorance in saying I don't know because it's happening so fast and so much. Some people say, well, wait, let's not give 9 vaccines at a time. All right? You're going to go have a little kid go in there, and he's going to get 9 vaccines. And there are those who say that the vaccines can, in fact, be possibly responsible. The big thing right now is autism. Is this happening because of autism?
Right.
With the recent election and with Robert Kennedy's view of things, I got a feeling they're going to dig into the research on some of this stuff and see where it goes. I wouldn't go so far as to say all vaccines are no. I think many of them are good. Measles, mumps, rubella, all those things. Those vaccines have been around a long time, and any complications from what I understand of the research on that, any complications from those vaccines... are less than the complications that could happen from mumps or rubella. So the pertussis vaccine for cough, for whooping cough, as it was called, because it sounded that way. So I guess that's about the best answer I can give you, Carrie. So it's filled with a lot of ignorance. But a lot of my answers are filled with ignorance, you know. So if I had to worry about... Go ahead, dear.
No, I do love the way you talk because you've been so helpful in so many things, but you're also humble that, you know, it's a...
Oh, I am humble as all get out. I mean, I'm glad you noticed that. For heaven's sakes. You know, I was hoping I wouldn't have to tell you. I just thought it would be so obvious. Carrie, thank you, dear. You take good care. And welcome to the church. Okie dokie to your calls with all humility pouring out of me.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me. In this commandment, God seeks to protect us from false claims to our worship and obedience. And there's a great sad history of people who have trusted in gods other than him or things other than him and the ruin that it has caused. So God is trying to protect us and call us to an absolute trust and obedience of him. He asks us to trust him above all things and above all other people or so-called gods. We have to also avoid things like consulting horoscopes, palm reading, clairvoyance, recourse to mediums, any desire to try to control things apart from God. God simply says, trust me, I'm the Lord your God. The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
Very good to have you with me, Dr. Ray Grindy here, program Doctors In, Monday through Friday. I thank you folks for the nice orders on the website. I have 16 or 17 titles listed there, and they're all signed. My wife makes me sign them, and she sends them out. They're discounted. And if you want to know what the books are about, I think I produced a little short videos on each of the books at drray.com. Lenny from Detroit, Wayne County. Yeah, I was confusing there in the run-up to the declaration of which way Michigan would go. Hi, Lenny.
How you doing, Dr. Ray?
Good, sir.
I wanted to ask you, you know, I kind of got my thoughts a little bit together compared to when your screener first answered the phone. I'm kind of confused and curious about the medical profession and the psychological and psychiatric professions. The other day you were talking about abortions and stuff and how the doctors could, you know, perform the abortion, and it's like people going and making the statement that, oh, yeah, I want my, you know, nose removed or whatever. And it brought to mind an article that I had read a few years ago about people that identify as people who have disabilities. And they walk around with canes and wheelchairs and crutches and stuff, and they actually go have surgery to have body parts removed, so that they are crippled and lame. And my question is, how can the medical profession do this? You know, and psychological professionals say this is okay and everything. I don't understand that at all. And I'm going to hang up here so I can listen to you on the radio and answer the question, because that's really, I don't know, to me it's crazy, and I hate to use that word, but it really is.
Well, don't leave me, Len, because I might want to ask you a couple of questions. But let me address your premises, that is the plural of premise. The first one, are you familiar? And this is where I get to sound really, really smart. Are you familiar with something called Munchausen syndrome?
Yes.
Oh, so you're just as smart as I am.
No, I watched a movie about Baron Munchausen, and I looked it up. That's the only reason I know
very,
that.
Very good. Very good. Very good. So Munchausen syndrome is, yeah, it was a guy, you're right, he was a, I think, was he a physician or something? And he said that there are those people who get attention from proclaiming themselves ill or disabled in some way. A devastating form of that is Munchausen's by proxy, which is where they use their kids to get all kinds of attention, a lot of visits to emergency room, a lot of visits to physicians, more or less proclaiming all kinds of maladies and physiological problems. So are there those people who do that? Yes, it's not common, but it is true. But the other premise is, are there physicians or even psychologists and psychiatrists who would say, okay, well, we need to acquiesce to what they want? I am not familiar with, okay, oh boy, all right, I'm going to have to qualify this, Lenny. I am not familiar with any medical professional of legitimacy who would say, okay, you want to identify as someone who is blind, all right, let's see what we can do to remove your eyesight. Or you want to be lame and walk with a cane, okay, let's see what we can do to cause some kind of permanent injury to your leg. Let's give you a problem with your Achilles. However, oh, here's the big but. This is being done, and it's at the very least controversial, for those children who are saying, I don't identify with my given sex, and in fact, I want you to remove these organs. I want you to remove these parts of my body. That's happening. So you're right. The point I made was that when we said, in abortion, you know, get this baby out of me. On the other hand, if they went to a physician and said, get this thumb off of me, no physician would do it. So the idea that this is my body, my choice, I can do with what I want with it, only applies to that baby in the womb. I think that's what you're touching upon, which, Lenny, it brings up the real complicated issue that virtually no physician would do what you said, which is, I want to identify as someone with a significant handicap, and therefore I need you to surgically intervene. But yet at the same time, you're right. Medical professionals, as well as psychologists and psychiatrists, unfortunately, are not asking enough questions about those kids who come in and say, I want this done to my body, and they're not exploring it, delaying it. They're simply rushing into it. Yes, that I think in time, I'm hoping that these professionals will start to reassess how they're approaching this in full-fledged speed. I just saw a statistic the other day, 14% of those who have had sex reassignment surgeries are detransitioning. 14. It's gaining momentum. Hey, Lenny, thanks. I know I asked you to hang on. You got any more questions, buddy? I got about another minute.
No, that was it. I wish I could remember the article, because it did give some physicians, or at least in the article, it said, Dr. So-and-so that has performed this numerous times for people. And they mentioned a couple of different articles in, I think it's the American Psychiatric Journal or something like that. So, or the APA, something like that was what they quoted. But, yeah, it just strikes me as, really screwed up for our society and people, and, for us not to try and straighten their way of thinking out.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. The rush straight ahead to some 12-year-old who says, I'm not comfortable in my body. I don't feel it's the right body for me. The rush straight ahead to say, well, let's change your body then, rather than doing what psychology and psychiatry has always done, which is let's explore why you think this about your body. I can draw a parallel to eating disorders when someone comes in and has a distorted body image. I see myself as a fat person, even though they're 5'2" and weigh 82 pounds. We immediately start to explore the reasons for this. We don't say, okay, well then we're going to have to do what we can to make you even skinnier. Thanks, Lenny. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. I appreciate the company.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Suffering in the world, personal suffering. One of the biggest things that keeps people from really giving themselves over to the Lord or joining an organized religion. Suffering doesn't seem to make sense. Why do children suffer? Why are there wars? Why is there persecution? Why are some people poor, others rich? Why is there such an imbalance? And on and on and on. A loving God wouldn't do that. Well, God doesn't do that. First of all, we did it to ourselves because in the beginning, right, we chose incorrectly. And then sin came into the world. It was not supposed to be like this, but God gives us free will. He does not want to force himself on us because otherwise we would be puppets. But how many of us can look back and forget what came out of a particular hard time? You don't learn really good, strong lessons when everything is going great.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What do we mean by intercessory prayer? The Catholic Catechism defines intercessory prayer as asking on behalf of another. It is a prayer attuned to God's mercy. It is a prayer of petition that leads us to pray as Jesus did. Jesus is the one intercessor with the Father on behalf of all mankind, especially sinners, because, says the Catechism, Jesus is able for all time to save the souls who draw near to God through him. Jesus lives to make intercession for such souls. When one prays intercessory prayer, he or she is looking out not just for one's own interest, but for the interest of others, even for one's enemies. The intercession of Christians recognizes no boundaries, says the Catechism. Prayers are extended for all men, for kings or for persecutors, and even for the salvation of those who reject the gospel. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Talk about being humbled. My sister just called me about 10 minutes ago while I was on the air, not even during the break. Now, I've only done this show for 20 years. Between 1 and 2 o'clock Eastern time. She's Eastern time. And she called me. Just to show you how much they respect what their sibling does. All right, there's more and more of this happening. I saw something from the media that said some guys were saying, if I don't vote a certain way, my girlfriend says, she'll break up with me. There's a lot of this. It's no longer we disagree about positions. It is, if you don't see it my way, I will either disown you or have less and less to do with you. And that's happening more and more, very sadly. And it's interesting that it's happening to Pedro, calling from Ohio. Hello, Pedro.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. And yeah, exactly what's happening to me. I'm Puerto Rican, born and raised in Puerto Rico. My parents are Puerto Rican. I've been in the States now, over 40 years. My wife is Mexican, green card Mexican. She was born and raised in Mexico, came here when Trump was running for the first time. Everybody got scared. She got scared. Let's get your citizenship. So we went and got it. Her parents came as illegal back in the 50s, in the 70s. Country was way different back then on the view of illegal immigrants. Now they're citizens, and I'm a devout Catholic all the way, not those cafeteria Catholics or lapsed Catholic. Truly, truly devout. So when I hear all these comments about what Trump said and then what Harris believes, and then people are saying, aren't you a proud Puerto Rican or aren't you a proud Catholic? And then I have my family who is basically all Mexicans, and I still keep the Puerto Rican culture at my house, you know, food, music, the way we raise our kids. I'm in fear of telling anybody who I voted for. I don't know how to defend myself as to reasons why. And I only have one reason, and that's enough for me. So I'm hoping you could maybe alleviate, because I don't think no one had a harder choice of who to vote for than somebody like me. I'm all over the place. I'm multicultural now, and I live in America.
Pedro, you said you were a devout Catholic, and you said you weren't a cafeteria Catholic, so that you are, I'm going to assume, unabashedly pro-life, and that for you, the life issue is the main issue. It is not part of all the other issues. It's the issue.
Correct.
So you say that you're confused about how to vote, and that you feel you have to defend yourself to other people within your social circle on how to vote. Well, first of all, why would you be confused? What would say, well, okay, on one hand, I'm going to vote pro-life because one political party is not only pro-abortion, but they celebrate pro-abortion. That's just a fact. I'm not being political. It's just a fact. All right? And matter of fact, they have used that as one of their main platforms to get elected. So that's a given. It's no longer Bill Clinton's abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. It is now celebrate my abortion. All right. So that's a question. And then the question is, why would you have to defend yourself against others around you? Now, I know an answer to that, but I want to hear you say it.
Well, I was confused, and the more I heard both sides, then I started looking into myself as a Catholic. It became easier. So I did, as you said, I did choose the pro-life side of voting. The explaining myself or why I need to is because, believe it or not, I love my family and we all get along. And sometimes you tend to feel this pushback when my reasons to explain these, my family, there's a lot of lapsed Catholics, unfortunately, or cafeteria Catholics. They believe this, but not that. And everybody looks at me as, oh, Pedro's the saint. Oh, Pedro's the one who's going to do the prayers. Oh, he's the one who's going to do that. And they're so far off the religion, many reasons. We could have an hour conversation about that. But these individuals that I see on the regular, that I have dinner with all the time and talk about, I feel like I'm just not going to tell them because it's going to make something happen negatively. It might affect my wife, my relationship. So I just
Wait. Your wife would give you grief if she knew you voted pro-life?
Not grief. I'm still trying to put the Holy Spirit in her to have the same, to be a devout Catholic, not a cafeteria Catholic.
Okay, here's what you do.
All right,
you don't defend yourself against them. You don't. You ask them a couple of questions. If they bring it up, you don't have to bring it up if you don't want to. You say, okay, I don't want to cause that kind of conflict and rift. However, if they bring it up, you say, am I not allowed to believe what I wish? You believe what you wish. Am I not allowed? That's what you ask them. Put them in that corner. Because that's what it comes down to. They're allowed to believe what they wish, but you're not. That's what it is.
That's the first thing you say. Then the second thing you say is, I completely believe, along with the Catholic Church, that celebrating the ability to kill a child, even as it is being born, dwarfs all other issues. And then see what they say. I know what they'll say, but you're just quietly making your point. You don't have to be bullied by this, Pedro. As I get older, maybe you're not as old as me, but as I get older, I really get sick of being bullied by people who say, Ray, you're not allowed to think like that. You have to believe this. You have to say this. You know, yesterday, I talked about as a psychologist, one thing I didn't understand is that people who just accept the idea that as a baby is being born, it's okay to kill it. Now, they won't say it like that, but in fact, if you vote that way, especially in those ballot initiatives in the states that deal specifically with allowing abortion all the way up to the point of birth. This is not, you're not voting for a person, you're voting for a law or a constitutional amendment in your state. And if you say, I'm voting for it, then you're basically saying it is okay if you so choose to kill a baby, a child, as it is being born. Now, I said that, and I said as a psychologist, whether you're religious or not, that I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. Immediately, I got a call. She didn't stay on the line, but she just simply said, you're judging people. Which, of course, makes no sense. And Pedro, I got to believe that because they think you're the holy one, the saint, Pedro says the prayers, Pedro makes the sign of the cross, Pedro's the one who says his blessing before meals, Pedro's the one who goes to church. Come on, Pedro, you're a religious freako. I got to believe they think that you're judgmental too. Is that true?
I think so. I think they feel that way because I'm trying to live my life with God. I've been changing my life around. I am not the same man my wife married 25 years ago. And they don't know me as the new man now because, you know, I don't advertise it, but I make changes. And I think they see it that way.
Well, I would hope your wife sees it and that she realizes that your Catholic faith is making you a more wonderful husband and father. And so she can't argue with that aspect of the Catholic faith. She can't say, well, you know, Pedro's a guy who prays his rosary, but yet he still talks to me nasty. No, and she sees that your faith is changing who you are, and that benefits her. She's going to look at this and say, well, there must be something about it, because look what it's doing for Pedro. But here's the thing I'm going to leave you with, Pedro. Uh-huh. You are not at all judgmental simply because you're living the way you wish to live. When somebody accuses you of being judgmental simply because you choose to live a certain way that they don't live, they're not telling you anything about you. They're telling you everything about themselves. They're saying, Pedro is judging me. Why is that? Because he votes pro-life. I don't hear Pedro judging you. I just hear Pedro voting pro-life. Well, I know how he thinks. Do you? Or are you projecting? Pedro, don't be bullied, my friend. Stand strong. All right. God bless you. I'll talk to you. This is Dr. A, taking a break.
How would you like to celebrate the Divine Mercy at the Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Poland on Divine Mercy Sunday? Well, you can. Steve Ray here, inviting you to join us in Poland as we follow the footprints of John Paul II, Maria Faustina, and Maximilian Kolbe. Daily Mass at the most iconic, beautiful churches and delicious local foods. Join us in April for Divine Mercy Sunday in Poland.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Hello, I'm Marian Kowarski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at prolifeacrossamerica.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
You know, back when I was first asked to do this radio show, not this particular one, it was with another network, I said, oh, I was so enthused, I was so excited. I said with all zest, no, thank you. At that time, I was doing a lot of clinical work, and I was speaking maybe 100, 120 times a year. When you speak that much, you can't afford to be tied to a microphone. So I said, no. Well, my wife, whenever we disagree, she ends up being right. About the only time I think my wife made a questionable decision was May 19th, 1984. It's our wedding day. But she's lived with it, and she's been very good about it. So she said, Ray, do it. Okay, all right. And I found out what Catholic radio can do through emails. I remember I had a stack a couple inches thick after that six-month period of people who'd come back to the faith or people who had listened, sometimes by chance, and converted, or their marriages got better, or their attitude towards raising kids changed. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I totally underestimated it. And I knew that particular network was a failed attempt. It was not like our networks that we have now. It was a very, very different approach to Catholic media. And I knew that if I ever had the chance to do this again, I'd better do it. I better not say, well, you know, Lord, I'm a pretty busy guy. You know, I got a lot of stuff. I mean, I make better money doing speaking engagements, too. That's the other thing, you know. I don't make any money doing radio all that much. But speaking engagements, yeah, that's where it is. So, Lord, even though I know that this is really pretty cool stuff, I'm a busy fella. Well, that didn't happen. Eventually, I got involved with EWTN. Ave Maria Radio, and it's been a wonderful 20 years. I'm not going anywhere. This is not a swan song here. It's just a little bit of reminiscence, that's all. Andrew, has it been 20 years? Is that about what it is? I know he knows these things better than I do. I get a little fuzzy when I think back along those lines. 20 years, does that sound about right for the radio show? With Ave 18, and yeah, there was about 2 years before that when I was with Catholic Answers. So, got it. I got it. It's been about 20. So, my sister is still calling me during the radio show, which tells you what an impact I've made upon my family. No, but I just, a little reminiscence, that's all that I'm doing here. Because I appreciate very much this opportunity. It's turned out to be far beyond anything that I can imagine.
For years and years, I did secular media. Oh, gosh, I was on hundreds and hundreds of radio shows and TV shows, and I was Oprah's kind of go-to guy before she hooked up with Phil, and I did CBS This Morning and Jenny Jones, and, there's just Joan Rivers, just a bunch of them, and then ultimately found out that's not where I wanted to be, and I got a chance to be here. Wow. Never saw it coming. So ever so pleased. Hope it goes on another 20. Hope it goes on another 20. Thank you for joining me here. This is Dr. Ray Grundy. Appreciate your company as always. And walk with God. That is the walk that will last into eternity.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.